Hello and welcome to A Woman's Heart. This is Elisa Granger. Have you ever felt weary in the waiting? Our guest today is Kelly Hall, and she says she is intimately familiar with the ache of unanswered prayers and experienced in the anguish of wrestling with the Lord through the weariness of long waits. Whatever challenge you are facing, Kelly's sweet spirit will encourage you. And if you could use some hope-filled scripture during your wake, go to my website, lisagranger.com, and click on Verses of Hope for this free resource. The link will be in the show notes as well. And now, my conversation with Kelly. Welcome to A Woman's Heart, my sweet friend, Kelly Hall. I am so happy to have you on, and I just know that Holy Spirit is just going to be all over this conversation. Thanks for joining us today, Kelly.
Oh, I so agree. I'm so happy to be here, Lisa. Yay, finally.
So we've known each other for a little while through different things, and you have such a sweet spirit. Always appreciate your caring and your compassion, which has been born out of a lot of stuff. And we're going to get into that. But before we get started with that, I would love for you to tell the audience a little bit about yourself and something fun that's not normally in your bio.
Okay, yeah. I will start by just telling you about my family. So this is what I love my family. My husband and I have been married 38 years.
Yay.
He
was
an F-16. I know. he was an F-16 pilot in the Air Force. So we moved a lot and he deployed a lot too. So we were separated quite a bit. And he still flies, training professional pilots how to improve their skills. So that's just crazy at this point in life.
Yes, it is.
But we have four adult children. Two of our daughters live with us right now. Both of them, I have to say, are miraculously walking out of debilitating Lyme disease.
Oh, wow.
They've been so sick, so sick. And we are seeing answers to prayers that we have literally been offering to the Lord for decades. We're just so grateful. Our younger daughter still has quite a ways to go, but the breakthroughs we're witnessing, honestly, is just blowing our minds. So we're super grateful to the Lord. Our third daughter, one of our twins, she's married, but they live far away. And that's hard. They live in Florida.
Yeah.
But our sons, we're in Arizona. Our son and his wife are married. They've been married for quite a while and they live far away too in Texas. But we're thankful for airplanes and FaceTime.
And your husband is a pilot, so he probably knows his way around an airplane.
Yes, he does. Now, the fun thing that's not in my bio, and I've not shared this publicly, you get to hear it, Lisa.
Yay, we're so special.
Okay. After quite a journey with our son and his wife through years of infertility, they are pregnant with our very first grandchild.
Oh my gosh, I am doing a happy dance for you and your son and his wife, and I can't tell you how happy I am for you and your family. I've heard many times that grandchildren are your reward for not doing something dastardly to your children as they grow up. So yeah. I'm not there yet. I have two grand dogs, but I am so excited for you. That is such good news. I'm so happy. And
Thank you. It comes
after such a long, as you've mentioned, you've had many, many years of health issues and challenges and things not going their way. And as you mentioned, they have struggled with the infertility. Yeah. So this is just a huge praise and answer to prayer. So in the midst of all of that, and, you know, I'm going to kind of jump ahead a little bit. I mentioned at the beginning, you do have such a sweet spirit. And sometimes I think we'll kind of circle back around to it. But right now, I would love to ask you, after, you know, all of these things, how have you managed to keep your heart soft instead of hard?
Yeah,
through all of it.
Okay. So I've got to say that I thought that was my favorite question that you sent me. It's the sweetest thing, because what I often tell people is I'm intimately familiar with the ache of unanswered prayers.
Yes.
And I've experienced in the anguish of wrestling with the Lord through the weariness of long waits. So mm-hmm. before I tell you how my heart has not become hard, you have to know that we have, you know, out of our four kids, our three daughters are profoundly deaf, and they also mm-hmm. had other learning disabilities and sensory processing disorder. And there is a wide variety of a wide variation of anxiety and depression throughout all of our kids. So, and we moved every 2 to 3 years with my husband being in the Air Force.
Yeah.
The challenges were overwhelming. And so how does my heart not become hard? There have been, I just have to say, I mostly speak to people that are weary. So I'm a speaker, author, podcaster, mm-hmm. and Bible teacher. But I tell you that when our stories get long and the disappointments pile, when the hardships go on and on, we get weary. And it is hard to keep trusting in the Lord. And when we hear of prayers being answered in other people's lives, it's just like another nail in our coffin. Like, oh my goodness, once again, my prayers are being answered in someone else's life instead of my own.
Yeah.
And so we get hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like we've been abandoned or God's neglecting us. And so the way that I have learned, and it makes me emotional because it was one of the darkest times in my life out of all the hard that we've been through mm-hmm. decades. I just remember this time when I realized I'm mad at God. My heart is really hurt. And maybe I wasn't angry because mm-hmm. I was still talking to you, but I just realized I'm really offended. That's probably a better word.
Yeah, that may be. You know, yeah, I see you doing really great things in other people's lives. And what about me? I'm here flapping in the breeze trying to do the right thing. And you know, what is up with that? I want a miracle.
Yes. And so I remember that it was the year when I thought, woohoo, I have made it. We have done it. God has been so faithful. Everybody's graduating. Our twins are graduating from high school, and they had about 40 hours of college credits already. And then our two older kids were graduating from college. And so I was just celebrating, you know,
yes.
This is the year. Woohoo.
As you should.
Right. But then I realized, and I don't know, I was just blind to it, but I realized how very, very sick our girls were. And we didn't know it at the time, but there was a really huge problem with sensory processing disorder and also with Lyme disease. And so there were huge implications that were confusing and difficult. And I realized it was like a bomb just went off, a tsunami, really,
wow.
You know, knocked me down. Oh my goodness, none of my girls are okay. They are not okay.
Wow.
And so the God, I just love how God meets us in these places. And mm-hmm. so what I would recommend to everybody is to remain in conversation with the Lord. That is the biggest thing. Don't stop talking to him. Don't shut down. Don't push him away. Tell him the truth. Mm-hmm. And so as I spent time with the Lord, he helped me get to the root of my offense. And this is what is so freeing. When God puts words to the deepest wounds in our lives, that's how we get healing, right?
Yeah. It's hard to fix what we can't even name.
Yes. Yes. And so it was really freeing when God helped me say, God, I'm offended. When my heart reads the story of my girls' lives, what I see is neglect, not the care of a good shepherd. And I know it's not true, but I can't read their story any other way. So I need you to help me.
Mm-hmm.
Help me.
Yes.
And that's exactly what he did. He's so good about that. So what I tell people is remain in conversation with the Lord, tell him the truth. And we often don't know the truth, like you and I were just talking about, right? And so we have to say, God, show me what is the deepest truth? What's true about what I'm feeling? And then the other thing that I would say, and this has been so huge, is to get curious with the Lord.
Oh, I love that.
Cannot. Do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, they get. I heard it somewhere that said, "Get curious, not furious," and that has stuck with me.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
it works in relationships too, human relationships.
Yes, it does. And so my weary heart has been rescued more times than I can even tell you, Lisa, by simply just asking God, I don't even know what to do with this. What do you want me to know? Mm-hmm. What do you want to say? I need you to speak to me in this place. I don't understand. Help me. I need you. I don't understand. And so, and God is so faithful to do that.
Yes.
So as we just sit with him and get curious, it actually opens our hearts to hear from the Lord and to gain greater understanding of the story he's weaving in our lives. And it's just blows your mind. It blows your mind how much that heals you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, as you're talking about getting curious and asking God and then listening, actually, you know, not just talking, but sitting yes. And listening, I think it's yes. also important to remember what questions we're asking. Because yes. I know a lot of times, when something first happens, my initial knee-jerk question is going to be, why?
Why?
Why, God? Yeah. Why is this happening? Why aren't you doing what I want you to do? Why aren't you, you know, fixing this? Why are you allowing this? And I'm learning that, okay, I can start there, but then keep asking more questions like, okay, God, I don't understand. Help me to understand, what should I be asking? What lesson am I supposed to be learning from this? Because we may not have any control over the situation. We may not have any control over somebody else, but there may be a lesson for us. And mm-hmm. as you mentioned, the situation in some cases hasn't necessarily, your daughters haven't been miraculously healed and they can now hear. And so there's right. still that reality, but mm-hmm. he can still open your eyes to so many others. So I love the curious and I love remembering what questions that we are asking. Yes. Be aware of which questions.
Right. And I think the biggest question we can ask, which I think I mentioned, is what do you want me to know here?
Yes.
And I'll tell you, there was this time when we moved every 2 to 3 years. So mm-hmm. I always assumed that what my kids really, really wanted was to go away, because we move in the summer. So what they really wanted was to go away to a Christian camp at the new church where they didn't know anyone. So I would send them immediately, let's go to Christian camp. Then you'll meet people, because you get here in the summer, there's no school, so it's hard to meet people. Go meet people, and then you'll have friends for the 2 years we're here before we move again. Mm-hmm. And so I sent them away to Christian camp, the two oldest, and I got a call from the camp. They said my daughter's implant had died, and I had sent parts along, and none of them were working. And this was not the first time, Lisa. This was the second time she had gone away to Christian camp, and her implant had broken. And I was so hurt. And I went to the Lord and I said, okay, this really hurts my feelings. I don't know what you're doing. I sent her to camp. She has this opportunity to hear from you and to meet new people. And it seems like you're just throwing that opportunity in the trash. I need you to talk to me. What do you want me to know in this place? And the Lord immediately said, I mean, he first of all just surrounded me. It makes me emotional. He surrounded me with a sense of his presence and his love. Mm-hmm. And he said, Kelly, I'm so much bigger than this.
Yeah.
Trust me. I've got your daughter. I love her.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful. And I know sometimes, too, we think we have a great idea. And then sometimes God yeah. says, yeah, no, not so much.
No, right?
Yeah. I definitely see going and then meeting and then the frustration of that. And I love how you did mention that God didn't just jump in and go, here's the answer. He said, it's okay yeah. for you to feel what you're feeling. I have to remind myself that there are times when feelings are fickle and that feelings are not fact, but God gave us feelings to kind of give us an indication that something may not be right or that this is something that needs to be addressed. And so yeah. we shouldn't necessarily ignore them. We don't need to ignore them, but right. I think it's Lisa Turker said that they are indicators, not dictators.
Yeah, that is something huge that the Lord taught me early on. I just remember this one day when I was just saying, we had just found out our twins were also deaf. So mm-hmm. we were pretty brokenhearted. Okay. Yeah. And I was looking at our four kids, just trying to get my mind around, you know, what is this going to look like? Mm-hmm. And honestly, fear and panic rose up inside me because to me, what it looked like was absolutely impossible and not doable. How? And so I just said to the Lord, and this is really the biggest lie and fear I dealt with early on was, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. This is impossible. I don't know if you're big enough for this. And that's really where I sat. So that's what happens when our feelings become so big, yeah. like you were talking about. Usually it's rooted in fear mm-hmm. and a diminished view of God. I mean, the biggest thing that I found was my feelings are overwhelming me. My circumstances are overwhelming me. And I said to God, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. And he surrounded me and just began to speak, as he is so faithful to do. My favorite thing about God is he yes. speaks. That's why we can ask him questions. He will yes. speak to us. And so he just started talking to me and saying, Kelly, remember that promise I gave you when your oldest daughter was diagnosed? I will never leave you or forsake you. That promise is for today. It's for your twins. It's for your whole family. Mm. I will give you grace to help you the moment you need it. I love your family. I am here for them. I'm going to bring glory to my name, and you're going to see my blessings up close and personal. And I'm just stunned by wow. a God who speaks.
Yes. Yes. And he does. And sometimes, though, I think when we don't hear, I've heard that it's not that God isn't broadcasting a message. It's that we may not be receiving it.
Yeah.
And that's right. And I have understood that, but I think there are times where even when you look at the Bible, there was 400 years where they said God didn't speak. Yeah. And so every now and again I think we struggle. We go like, "Okay, Lord, I'm trying to listen, but I'm not hearing anything. I really want to hear something, and I'm not." And this is where I will say, "God, you parted the Red Sea. You can't send me an email." Just yeah. something that I will know that I can see, that I really feel like you are. And then sometimes maybe he really isn't speaking anything. And yeah. I don't know, have you ever had times where you're like, okay, yeah, there are times when he will speak, and that is great, and he does still do it, and we can count on him to do that. But maybe there are seasons or hours or yeah. days where it does feel like he's very silent.
Yes. Gosh, that's such a good question. Yes, I have walked through times when God was silent. I still felt, and this is so important, to hold on to the truth that he will never leave us or forsake us.
Yes.
So I felt convinced. I knew he was still with me, mm-hmm. but he was silent. And I didn't know why. And I just remember saying to the Lord, I'm overwhelmed by life, and I need you to give me one verse to hold on to right now. And that was the story I had just told you earlier where I was saying it's impossible, I can't.
Yeah.
And the verse God brought to mind was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So look to him, mm-hmm. and he will direct your paths. But my cry to the Lord was, I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what that looks like. You have to show me. I don't know. Am I just really slow or dense? So really, when you talk about God being silent, it that verse speaks to that mm-hmm. place as well. And so one of the things that I started saying was, taking that verse, I refuse to be overcome by my circumstances or controlled by my emotions. Instead, I choose to live my life fully convinced, okay, God's character never changes. Mm-hmm. His promises, they never fail. My eternal hope in Jesus will never disappoint. I know he is with me and for me, no matter what I'm feeling. And so I just had a bunch of verses, like 30 or 40, Lisa, that I would pray on a piece of paper, my ratted, worn up piece of paper.
Oh, there you go.
That I would pray every day to convince myself that God was really with me, mm-hmm. was for me, is working, is moving, even when I can't see him or feel him. I don't know if you ever heard this, that faith analogy where a pastor might say, oh, well, trusting God is like saying, oh, that chair, there's a chair over there. but I'm not really exercising my faith until I go sit in it. Do you remember mm-hmm. that analogy?
Yes, I have heard that analogy. I've heard that analogy. Okay. Yeah.
So I would often scoff at that analogy, roll my eyes and say, that is the lamest excuse for describing faith that I've ever seen in my life. Because it doesn't capture that struggle that we feel when our emotions are huge, when our circumstances are impossible, and yeah. God is silent. So I asked the Lord, would you please give me a faith analogy that makes sense to me when I'm struggling?
There you go.
And he gave me the coolest story. So one day, Lee said to me, he was just talking about flying and how when he's pulling G's, so he flew F-16s in the mm-hmm. Air Force. So when he's pulling G's or he's engaged in air-to-air combat, you know, they're turning, they're flipping, they're all over the place.
Yeah, I've seen it on the screen in a movie, but can't imagine what it really is doing to your body and how you can keep a focus. And
I know, I'd be throwing up for sure. But anyway, so he said, when that happens, the messages to the brain about where you are in space get confused and you can't tell if you're right side up or upside down. And it's no big deal if it's daylight and if it's clear because you see landmarks. You
yes.
say, okay, yeah, there's land, mm-hmm. there's sky, I know where I am, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But when you're in bad weather or it's at night.
Yes.
So when you're okay, so just imagine when you're dealing with emotions that are difficult, when you can't see a way through, when you can't see any light at the end of the tunnel, you don't have any landmarks, right?
Yeah.
And so Lee told me about a time he was convinced, he was flying, he was convinced he was upside down, but his instruments told him that what he felt was a lie. He was actually right side up. And he said it took every ounce of his willpower to refuse to be controlled by his feelings and instead place his trust in his instruments. He had to fly that jet based on what he knew to be true rather than what he saw or felt.
Oh,
don't you like that?
Yes, I do. I do like that because you're right. When we're in the middle of a storm, whether that's just a loss, there's any number of things that could be going on, but we're in the middle of that. It is very hard to know which end is up. I do. I like that analogy of then living life by the instruments versus your feelings in that. And one of the other things that I thought of while you were talking was it was a choice that you made.
Yes. Yes.
And I so remember there have been times where I'm like, I remember that father and the father, and Jesus said, well, if you believe, he's like, I believe, help me in my unbelief.
Oh,
And that crying out and going, God, I don't feel it. I don't like it. I don't even know if you're there anymore, but I'm going to choose to believe that you're there and help me in my unbelief. And I have absolutely said that prayer before. And the other thing that I was reminded of is sometimes when God is silent, I think it's because he has sat back and said, I've already told you what I want you to do, but you're not doing it. And I'm reminded of Jonah.
Yeah.
And he's like, go do the last thing I told you to do. Why am I going to give you something new to do when you haven't done the last thing that I told you to do? Which can be comforting and convicting all at the same time. But those are some of the things as you were sharing is that choice to, okay, acknowledge your feelings and be real and be authentic with God. It's not like it's a surprise to him anyway, but just keep talking and then choosing to trust in his promises and his words and what he has told you and done in the past and choosing to walk in that. But I really do like that analogy of the flying by the instruments because it's dark and you can't see nothing.
Yeah.
In front of you. I really, really like that analogy so much. So one of your most recent endeavors has been a podcast. So I do want you to touch on a little bit about, you've already been women's minister, you've written and you've spoken. Why the podcast is part of your journey with him?
Yeah, I know, right? I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was calling me to do this. And it was really hard for me, Lisa, because I just told you that I had I had become a full-time caregiver for my girls this season of my life. And actually what had happened is my website had been destroyed by a virus. My public ministry had actually stopped, even though I traveled and spoke a few times. Yeah. But I'd been really busy in ministry. And then suddenly I really wasn't. All I was doing was teaching Bible study at our church. So I felt sort of like Moses. I was hidden. You remember when Moses was hidden in the wilderness?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That's how I felt. And suddenly God was calling me to step out and relaunch a brand new website and do a podcast. And I couldn't even believe it. And so as I started moving in that direction, it was so hard for me to step over fear to be, and I had to be healed of some shame, just different things that had happened in the past in ministry. And so before I could even do it, God had to do a lot of healing. He also healed me of some really deep sorrow and grief I had about my girl's story.
Yeah.
So it was, when God calls you, you just never know what the journey is going to be like. And I promise it will always involve soul healing. That's what he always does.
Oh, yes. Yes. I am finding that out. And that kind of points to my question of, if someone was there in front of you, and what would you say to encourage them to step out and do what God has asked them to do?
Yeah, the first thing I would say is don't give up. I had a friend tell me, I am not going to let you quit on this dream. If I can do it, you can do it. You're going to do this.
Yay.
And so I would also recommend put a few people around you, maybe just one or two, who see you, who know about God's call in your life, who believe in you. God called you. He will do it. That settles it.
Yes.
But one thing I would also do is I would ask the question that a dear woman asked me many years ago when God was calling me to write the Bible study, Courageous Faith, which actually contains a lot of my story and comes with, you know, a video. And so everyone, and you see that all the time in the Bible, I would ask people, what are you so afraid of? Because that's usually at the root of everything. If you gathered a bunch of CEOs in one room and you gathered all the people in the Bible that had been called by God and you asked them, what are you so afraid of? I think the only thing that all of them would say is, I'm not enough. I'm afraid I'm going to fail. Right?
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a main one. Yeah, I think that's probably definitely in the top three.
So I would say, tell the truth to God about your fear and ask him what he wants to say to you about that, just like he did with Moses.
Yeah.
And what you'll discover is the number one thing he'll say, just like he did in the Bible 100 times, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I am with you. My favorite verse is Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself has already gone before you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. So don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. God's got you. He is enough. And he created you uniquely to reflect his character to the world in a way that nobody else can. And I think that's huge, because another lie we often deal with is this message is already out there in a bunch of different ways, right?
It is. That is definitely another lie that I have had to struggle with and go, yeah, but nobody has my unique spin on it and my combination of stuff. And that means that I'm not the only one that struggles with this. And so I should still share and get over myself and get out of the way.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for all of that hope and encouragement. And where can people find you? You have your podcast is Unshakable Hope. So where can people find you and connect with you?
Yeah, I would love for people to go to kellyhall.org. Because if you go to my website, you'll see a lot of prayers and scriptures that will encourage your weary heart. And you can also subscribe and get free inspirational bookmarks that contain one of my favorite prayers that we didn't even get to mention today, and faith declarations from my Bible study, Courageous Faith, and identity statements that will just fill your weary heart with hope.
Well, good. Thank you so much. We will put that in the show notes. And Kelly, thanks again for your heart, everything about you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
It was so much fun, Lisa. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining me today on A Woman's Heart. I'm Lisa Granger. I pray that you were encouraged by the conversation with Kelly Hall to lean in and keep talking to God. And if you need some scripture to help give you some hope, head to my website, lisagranger.com, and click on Verses of Hope. The link will be in the show notes.
I appreciate you listening, and make sure to follow on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss an episode. And please leave a rating or review. It means so much to me and helps others to find the encouragement on the podcast as well. Have a blessed day.